May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 1008. Come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought and lead me to thy blessed abode. 1008.
Of God. Let us read this evening some verses from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll read from verse 41 to verse 80. Psalm 119. Verse 41 to verse 80. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, and thy word hath quickened me. The proud have made me greatly, have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me, without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. So may the Lord add his blessing upon his own word unto each and every one of us. And may he now give us a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O thou almighty and eternal Lord God, now we are gathered, Lord, here in this place, seeking to be gathered together in thy name, that we may know thy presence amongst us, for thou art faithful that hath promised. And thou knowest, Lord, how we have come this night into the courts of thy house. For thou seest our hearts, thou knowest us through and through, and nothing is hid from thine all-seeing eye. O Lord, help us to pour out our hearts before thee in humble confession. Lord, we are not worthy to come unto thee, for we are guilty, vile sinners, transgressors of thy holy law. But, oh, we plead the name and sin-atoning blood of thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send to be the Saviour of sinners. Lord, may it be that thou doth look upon him to behold us, that we may be found acceptable in thy sight. Lord, who give us those broken and contrite hearts that are acceptable before thee. Break, Lord, the hard heart of unbelief, the hard heart of pride and self-will and of self-righteousness. And bring us, Lord, to where we can only do one thing, and that is plead for thy mercy. And may we, Lord, know that access through Jesus Christ to the throne of thy grace, there to obtain that mercy and grace to help in the time of our need. O Lord, be gracious to us now this night, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to lose sight of all the carnal and vain things of this life. Lord, who set that cross of Christ before our eyes, and by faith, Lord, bring us there to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, all that sin that is in our own heart. Oh Lord, we plead for thee for mercy, we plead for thee for pardon, who can need it more than we? And as the hymn writer puts it, Lord, make us as a watered garden. O Lord, may the rivers of thy grace and love and mercy flow down even this night through thy precious word unto each one of our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for many mercies, for thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. Thou hast not rewarded us according, Lord, to our transgression. All our iniquities, Lord, we stand amazed at thy long suffering. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt maintain us near thy wounded side and there supply all our need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thou knowest, Lord, what we have need of before we ask. Oh, do lead us in the pathway of life. Lead us forth by the right way that leads unto everlasting life. Thy ways, Lord, are not our ways, and thy thoughts are not our thoughts. Lord, they are much higher than ours. Oh, do give us the grace of resignation and the grace of submission to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. For are not our times in thy hand and all events at thy command? Lord, thou knowest the case and the pathway of each one here before thee this night. Help them, Lord, to commit that way unto thee. Thou wilt lead them and teach them aright and sanctify it to the good of their never-dying soul, that they may be teaching, they may be learning, there may be instruction concerning thy goodness and thy mercy, and that to follow us all the days of our life. And Lord, thy goodness to pass before us in the way. Oh, knowing, Lord, that thy presence is with us. Thy love round about us. And that we are thine and thou art ours. So give us, Lord, tokens of this thine heavenly love toward each one of us. Tokens, Lord, that we are born of thee and that our treasure is above. Help us, Lord, in our earthly pathway, in all the duties and responsibilities. Lord, do make us wise stewards of all that we possess, all that thou hast granted to us. O Lord, do not let us stray into vanities and extremes and the love of self. And Lord, only seeking those things which are for our earthly prosperity. O Lord, do keep us where we seek first and foremost the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. And all other things to be added unto us as thou dost seem fit for us. We thank thee, Lord, for every possession we have, every benefit received. O Lord, our food, our drink, our peace and safety, our clothing, our homes, the prospect of another harvest. Lord, so many things thou hast granted to us. Lord, we have been spared warfare in this land for 70 years. But, oh Lord, how easily we take so many things for granted. And we forget thy mercy and thy long-suffering love. Lord, we're left with unthankful hearts and much murmuring and much complaining when things do not go in accordance with our own heart's desire. Oh Lord, the evidence of sin within us, it's made manifest day by day, hour by hour, in what we think and what we say and what we do. Yet, Lord, do not cast us away, though vile. Speak to us even this night through thy holy, precious word. Lord, make us to know that thou art still mindful of us. Oh, may thy thoughts be precious toward us. May we have the testimony of David, who said, I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. Lord, may we know thy thoughts toward us this night, our thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. Remember those, Lord, unable to be here tonight. Lord, for whatever the reason, some perhaps on holiday, Lord, watch over them, keep them in thy loving care. And bless their time, Lord, away to the good of their body, their health, their strength, and also in spirit to their soul. Remember those, Lord, who may be detained by duties and responsibilities. Lord, to give them all needed wisdom and help in all the matters that fall to them. And Lord, those that have to provide for their dependents, for their loved ones. Lord, maintain them in their business, in their work. And Lord, help them to do all things as if unto thee, knowing that thou hast given them the wisdom, the ability to do that which is needful. And that we have to labour for the things of this earth because of our sin. By the sweat of our face shall we eat bread. O Lord, in all our labours, help us not to forget these things. Remember any, Lord, that are laid aside through pain and affliction, sickness or injury. Lord, whatever be the cause, we commend them to thee. Lord, do grant thy healing touch, not only bodily, but spiritually. Lord, sanctify the pathway, that they may know thy good hand to be upon them in the answers to their many prayers. Lord, remember children and the young people. Oh, we do commend them to thee. Those here this night, Lord. Oh, Lord, watch over them and bless them with a listening ear and a hearing ear and hearts to understand. O Lord, confirm them as the lambs of thy fold. And others, Lord, that may not be here, Lord, but come here upon thy day, O do bless them likewise. Lord, remember the work of the Sunday school in this place. O Lord, do help the teachers in their labours. May they know that they are not in vain. Lord, help them to continue. And may that which they teach the children be used of thee, Lord, even in time to come. Lord, in accordance with thy sovereign will and purpose. And Lord, remember the young people at this time. Many perhaps have taken exams. Lord, are receiving the results at this time. Oh Lord, do open up the right ways for them. Give thanksgiving where there is the opening up of those opportunities they've sought. Lord, give more prayer to those who may have disappointment, knowing that thou canst yet bring out better things than that which seems to be shut up against them. Oh Lord, do bless them and hear their prayers. And Lord, do go before them in the pathway of life, in the many changing scenes of life. May they grow, Lord, in thy grace and the knowledge of thy heavenly love. Lord, may that ever be our experience, no matter what our age. And Lord, may we rest in thy love through the blessing of the Holy Ghost that sheds abroad that love in our hearts given to us. So, Lord, we lay these things before thee. And Lord, we pray for the continuation of our liberties of worship. O Lord, we have confessed thou hast been merciful for many years, sparing us from warfare and violence. But Lord, we have turned the back. Lord, as a nation we have forgotten thee. As a church at large, Lord, there's been the turning aside from thy doctrines and from thy word of truth. Oh, and the love of carnal things and abominable things are now exalted and openly permitted, even to the threatening of the blocking out of the practice of the Christian faith. Oh, Lord, we deserve thy wrath, yet remember thy mercy still. Hear the prayers of thy praying people. Lord, do bring deliverance. Lord, be our defence. And to thy name be all the honour and all the glory. Shield us, Lord, from the jihadist and those who would bring bloodshed and violence to our shores. Lord, turn about the evil philosophy of the atheist and the humanist. And Lord, remove from our schools, oh, that dreadful teaching which is intended to poison the hearts and minds of the young. Give wisdom to our Parliament, Lord, that they may see the error of these things, and give them wisdom to handle every matter. Lord, shield us, we pray, and maintain our Protestant liberties, and may thy word have the free course and be glorified throughout our land. Lord, who hear us in all these things. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon this place of worship. Lord, may it ever be a true sanctuary, a place where thy voice is heard, thy presence known and felt, and there's a gracious prosperity witnessed amongst them. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, do forgive. We ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. 1108.
in complete dependence upon our Lord to excuse me to open up and apply his holy and sacred word unto us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the portion of scripture we read in Psalm 119, and in particular verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The 63rd verse of Psalm 119. What an amazing declaration this is by the psalmist. A companion. That word companion really means being knit together with all them that fear the Lord, that fear thee. Dear friends, this wasn't learnt by study of books and study of the law, by his own intellect and by his own wisdom and understanding. And this was gained by gracious experience. Experience of the being and the power and the might and the omniscience and the glory and the goodness and the grace and the love of God. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. We're not told who the psalmist was. Many psalms have a heading, the Psalm of David. Some have said this may well be a Psalm of David. What we know is the psalmist come to love the word of God, come to desire to walk obediently in accordance with the word of God. One who came to declare the Lord was his portion. Dear friends, this was a blessed character, wasn't it? And the whole of this psalm is his testimony of his state spiritually. And also, as it indicates from time to time, his state providentially. Oh, how all things are centred. Centred on God and his knowledge of God. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Dear friends, it's a psalm which we might say is very, very cleverly compiled. As you may well know, it has broken down into these various sections, each one of 8 sentences. Each section being based on the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the first letter of each sentence in the Hebrew begins with that letter. And almost without exception, there's one of 7 words at least once in each of those sentences. Those words being found in that first portion we read tonight in verse 41 to verse 48. The expression of thy word. The expression of thy judgments. The expression thy law. The expression thy precepts. Thy testimonies. Thy commandments. Thy statutes. Why does the psalmist emphasise so much in this way? Well, dear friends, we find that the commandments, the statutes and the precepts, they are very, very similar. In fact, they're almost interchangeable. And we find that the Hebrew word for them is sometimes used in one way and sometimes in another. The translators are using them as per the context in which they are found. And then there's the judgments. That which the Lord has declared. The way he will act in accordance to one's regard. For the statutes, the precepts and the commandments which are to be obeyed. And combined, dear friends, those commands, precepts, statutes and judgments make up collectively the law. The law of God is revealed unto Moses. On how the first five books of the Holy Scriptures are considered to be the law of God unto his people through Moses. The Lord's testimonies. Those things which he brings to pass in accordance with his will and purpose. Dealing with those people in his way as he would have it sovereignly. The blessings, the curses, the knowledge that the Lord's hand is at work in the lives of his people. And all this embraced by that word, the word, thy word, spoken, written. Everything that God declares of his will and purpose and that which he does. Dear friends, in all these expressions, it embraces, doesn't it, the Almighty God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, fulfilling the law, establishing the testimonies of a good and gracious God unto his people. Oh, we find much concerning the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, don't we? And we find it in this psalm as well. For anyone that fears God, values that mercy through Jesus Christ, that revealed to them by faith. Whether it is before the time of Christ's coming or since Christ has come, it's by faith, isn't it? We look unto Christ for mercy. Oh, the testimony here of the psalmist, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. He begins the psalm very assuredly, doesn't he? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Oh, we have a psalm of David which begins very similar, the very first psalm. Blessed are they that do not walk in the way of the ungodly. sometimes if the psalmist has been so blessed, why does he fear the Lord? Why is he a companion of those that fear God? Is not his salvation sure? Dear friends, he learned the fear of the Lord by experience. And that is still the same today. You and I will only learn the true fear of the Lord by experience. What a wondrous truth it is that the Lord knoweth them that are his. His people given, the God's people given unto his Son, that he might bestow his mercy upon them and to them. Now, how does that mercy come? That mercy through which comes the fear of the Lord within us. Well, the psalmist testifies here that he went astray. Perhaps in his early days, in his early life, in his unregeneracy, as we call it, he rebelled against the word, against the law, against the statutes, against the precepts. He wandered far off, without God and without hope in the world. But dear friends, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the only reason, isn't it, there are any sinners saved by grace. The Lord knows what it needs to bring a sinner humbly to his feet. He testifies that he was afflicted. Now, what that affliction was, we are not told. Whether it was in health and strength, whether it was in some sorrow, some disappointment, some grief, improvidence, with loved ones, we're not told. But it was something what brought him very low. Dear friends, so low that he could find help in nothing else but in crying to the Lord for mercy. It was an affliction that was sanctified to the good of his soul. We just sung a hymn, haven't we? I seem forsaken and alone. I hear the lion roar, and every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Dear friends, that's how the Lord will work in the lives of his people, to bring them humbly to his feet. It causes them, doesn't it, to cry out of the depths, that they may prove that out of the depths, when they cry for that mercy, there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. Oh, we read that parable of the prodigal son who wandered far off, desiring the riches of this world and entering into the iniquity of this world. And has that not been the case with many of us? Oh, perhaps when we've been young and as we've grown up and got some independence, to go our own way as far as the sheep can run, as the hymn writer puts it. We will not have this man, this way, to rule over us. The Lord brought that prodigal to be in want. The Lord's work. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy, isn't it? What a mercy that we have a faithful God. the work of Christ. Is there not one of those whom the Father hath given him shall be lost? But he will raise them up at the last day. Called by grace. Now this was what this affliction, sanctified affliction, was. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Oh, there's some solemn statutes, aren't there? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's one of them. Dear friends, when we're brought into sanctified affliction, we shall be taught many statutes concerning the sin and the consequences of it. The solemn judgment of God to rebellious sinners. And there that sinner taught the statute. As the Apostle Paul was taught, wasn't he? Under the influence of the teaching of the Lord, he said, sin revived and I died. No goodness left in and of himself. Now, dear friends, if we are brought into a pathway like that, when all we can do in our trouble, in our sorrow, in our affliction, whatever it is, cry unto the Lord for his mercy, then, oh, may that be and prove to be the beginning and a confirmation of the grace of the Lord toward your soul. For all the Lord's people shall be taught of God, as this psalmist was. He says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He won't let you continue in your rebellious ways. He won't let you continue going in that way which seems right unto you for your earthly prosperity. He won't let you continue in a way of self-righteousness and self-will which disregards the mercy and the grace of a holy God. No, you're his. And he will have you. He's a jealous God. He will keep his own unto himself. He will not let Satan have you. And dear friends, the way he unlocks that door, the gates of hell to call his people forth, dear friends, are not ways of pleasantness. They're ways which cause you to cry for mercy on account of your sin. That's what the psalmist did here, isn't it? The very first verse we read tonight, verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. What does he need saving from? His sins. Never mind the affliction, the trouble to be taken away just for the ease of his body, that he can go on more smoothly in his earthly pathway. It's taught him that if he does not know this mercy of the Lord, he will perish in his sins. Now that's the fear of the Lord, isn't it? If it is not for the Lord's mercy, we cannot live here. The teaching by the Holy Spirit of a sinner. Even thy salvation according to thy word. Oh, dear friends, the word of the Lord was not strange unto this psalmist. There was much condemnation, but there was also much blessing. Is it not found in the law, the Lord saying to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Who are those to whom he will have mercy and compassion? Those who are taught to need it. To need it. And their cry is unto the Lord out of those depths. Oh, he didn't just cry once as he could through his experience here, does he? I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. He wasn't half-hearted. You know, when a sinner's taught their sin under this sanctified affliction, they seek the Lord with their whole heart. They're not looking for providential mercies and eases and benefits. It's here on my heart the burden lies. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Oh, how this comes in again. According to thy word. According to thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word abideth forever. Oh, let thy mercy come. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Thy law, my delight. Dear friends, that's not being legal. He didn't see his goodness and his acceptability, his deliverance under his own obedience to the law. He saw in the law of God this mercy, this compassion to guilty sinners who fell before him. Deuteronomy is part of the law given unto Moses, isn't it? What does the Lord say there? And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. That thou mayest live. To live eternally. Eternal life unto the soul. The Lord thy God will circumcise, not your flesh, will circumcise thine heart. Separate you from the love of the flesh. Separate you from your dependence upon everything that is of your own self and the love of the riches of this world. It being superseded by this God of love, this God of grace, of love immense, free his favours to dispense. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his cry, wasn't it? And dear friends, he received his answer. Oh, it was good for him that he'd been afflicted. It brought him into the knowledge, he says, thy word hath quickened me, and made him alive unto salvation. And therefore, he feared God. He came into the knowledge without that mercy of the Lord, he would perish in his sins. And that was the knowledge, and that was his dependence upon the Lord's mercy all his days. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Dear friends, this is the true fear of the Lord. This is true religion. Something must be known and found. Dear friends, this doesn't lift you up, does it? This casts you down in all your own self and your own goodness. But all your glory now and all your hope and all your joy is in what the Lord hath done for your soul. No difference what faith is given unto God and his pardoning love. That was the joy now and rejoicing of the heart, wasn't it? And the whole word of God which contains all this mercy became his desire that he may walk in it. That he might be obedient to it, walking in the revealed will of God, to walk in love as the Lord had loved him. Now, dear friends, that's a humble walk. It's not an easy walk. The psalmist in this psalm doesn't speak of an easy walk, does he? We read tonight, the proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. Oh, dear friends, what a battle was now going on in the psalmist. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Dear friends, the enemy rises up, you know, more and more against those who fear God. Satan is a mighty foe. He'll stir up your old nature and he'll bring those temptations against you. He'll cause the proud to rise up against you and affect your own pride and raise that up. And that's abomination before God, isn't it? Pride bringeth destruction. A haughty spirit comes before a fall. And oh, how, dear friends, this poor psalmist would be tempted by the spirit of evil. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And he would be tempted to go that way as well. Dear friends, are you who know and fear God, are you not tempted? Do you not now know the evil of your own earthly hearts more than you've ever known it before? Is your heart not more tender and conscious? Why, you've been given a new heart, haven't you? A heart of flesh, that means a softened heart. One that is sensitive to the things of the Lord, to the things of the truth, to the things that though you've been given. And those things which are contrary to the word and the love and the being of God ruling in your heart. Oh, what grief it brings to you, and fear and dread. He says on more than one occasion, concerning his troubles, the proud have forged a lie against me. Oh, dear friends, we think of the Apostle Paul, who had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. That would be a lying spirit, wouldn't it? A thorn in the flesh. Dear friends, how do those that fear God continue to walk in that tender fear? They continue to cry unto the Lord for that mercy. That mercy that endureth forever. Although they fail, although they fall, they come short, they backslide. Oh, the weakness of their own heart. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His mercy is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, to those that fear him. Oh, dear friends, what wonderful statutes these are, aren't they? What wonderful declarations those are of the Lord through his people. And so the psalmist here says, Lord, remember the word. Unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. In the time of this, yes, it's again an affliction, isn't it? It's a temptation, trials, troubles, doubts, fears. He desires that returning to the sweetness of the power and the knowledge of that which began that good work in him, that brought him into the fear of the Lord. And it's that fear of the Lord, dear friends, that maintains him in that way. Oh, that faith the Lord has bestowed upon him to cry for mercy in that first day, dear friends, that's never taken away from the Lord's people. Again and again they cry out of the depths. Remember the word, O Lord, unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. The Lord is faithful. For thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath made me alive. Oh, renew it again in the power and in the glory when it was first revealed to me. When the banner over me was love, O Lord, do bestow that blessing upon me again. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Dear friends, if there's no renewing of the blessing, he feared, lest his sins would have the prevailing power over him. Oh, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Dear friends, there's a direct union here between the fear of the Lord and keeping his precepts. What are the precepts? I think you invariably find in the scriptures where there's a precept, it's followed with a promise. And those that fear the Lord in their tribulations and in their trials, dear friends, they look to those precepts in hope and trusting in a faithful God for the promise. Call on me in the day of trouble. There's the precept. I will deliver thee. There's the promise. And thou shalt glorify me. There's the effect. Oh, well, the psalmist here glorifies God, doesn't he? Because he testifies throughout this psalm, and other psalmists throughout their psalms, especially David, how they glorify God for his deliverance in the times of trouble. David said, wasn't it, in Psalm 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What's that precept? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. There's the precept. And he shall sustain thee. Oh, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. There's the precept. And he shall bring it to pass. Oh, dear friends, there's so many, isn't there? Precious precepts and precious promises. And dear friends, those that fear the Lord, they look to them because there's their hope, there's their deliverance, there's their trust that they shall be kept unto the day of salvation when they shall depart time for eternity. As Peter says, kept by the mighty power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. All the experiences of the Lord's people. Dear friends, does this text reply? Does it apply to you? Oh, I pray that it does. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Dear friends, do you know your complete dependence upon God, upon his mercy? Without that mercy, you will be cast into everlasting fire. Then you fear him, don't you? Lest you will be cast away, though vile, oh, your sins, your iniquity. And does that make you cry unto him for that mercy? Has he afflicted you to bring you into such a place where you have had to cry unto him? And perhaps it's been more than once, because we do rebel, don't we? Oh, but that lovely hymn we sometimes sing, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, and my promise I'll fulfill. I've bound thee up secure. Now that's the effect, dear friend. That's the promise, isn't it? To those whom the Lord hath called into his tender fear. That of you that have been humbled before him and poured out your heart before him, you sought him with all your heart. That's the effect of the fear of God. Dear friends, you may be looking for some great blessing, I don't know. You may be looking for some understanding within yourself of some great righteousness and goodness before men, and oh, you feel your sins. You feel your griefs and sorrows spiritually. Oh, you want to feel better than that before you can say the Lord has been good. Dear friends, those that fear God in the depths of their sin, they're the ones who receive the blessing of God, who pour it out before the Lord, crying for his mercy. Oh, dear friends, there's nothing to hinder us in doing that, is there? To pour out our heart before him and tell him all the truth. Lord, I'm a sinner. Bestow thy mercy upon me. That was the pathway of the psalmist here. And it was through the answer to that desire, through those prayers, he became greatly blessed. Blessed are they. It began the psalm, didn't it? Blessed are they who walk. Are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Who are the undefiled in the way? Not through their own merits, not through their own goodness. Those who've cast their burden, those who've cast all their sins, their iniquities, confessed it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath said, I, even I am he that blotteth out all thy transgressions and will remember thy sins no more. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee, or the undefiled, in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What way is that? What law is that? Where sin abounded, his grace doth much more abound. And that's the law of grace, isn't it? Dear friends, that supersedes the law of solemn judgment of a guilty sinner all their days who were lost and ruined in the fall. Oh, this law of grace to one called by grace, those for whom Christ died, and those for whom the Lord hath put within your heart that need of it. that need to be a sinner, are saved by grace. Now, dear friends, we have this, don't we? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They were the companions. They were knit together. Here we have the Church of Christ, don't we? Oh, dear friends, don't neglect the speaking of that which the Lord hath wrought within you. That tender fear of the Lord. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I'm sure that speaking wasn't of the weather and the carnal things of life. It was a speaking of what the Lord had done for their soul. His work of grace within. We have it in another psalm, don't we? Come, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Oh, the testimony of how they've committed their way unto the Lord, trusting in him, and he is wondrously brought to pass. Perhaps things that seemed impossible, he proving to be the God who can do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. Doing exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. They spake often one to another. And that book of remembrance was written before the Lord. Those things which honoured his name, glorified him. He says, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. They're his people. They're his work. Oh, when he makes up his jewels. Oh, those precious stones in the heavenly kingdom. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What, these ones, these guilty sinners who suffer sin all their days and in the fear of the Lord, lest he should blot them out of his book? The saints, yes. Although a sinner sin 100 times. And is it something to do with the lengthening of days? Oh, to sin even more. Yet I know it shall be well with them that fear God. Oh, this fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, being made wise unto salvation, the one thing needful. Dear friends, I believe that was Mary's condition when the Lord said of her, Mary hath chosen that good thing, one thing needful, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, she desired to hear the Lord's voice, didn't she? More than all her earthly duties, more than all her earthly responsibilities, good and right though that they were. But the one thing needful, the one thing that would give joy and joy to her heart, was to hear the voice of her precious Saviour. Words of love, words of mercy. Those words that come through Calvary. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, dear friends, we're ever learners, aren't we? We ever need to grow in his grace and the knowledge of his love. And to do that, he may bring us again and again in affliction. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And through that learning, that teaching, oh, we grow in the knowledge and the faithfulness of God, who maintains us in his heavenly love, prepares our soul for that eternal habitation, that in that last day Oh, we shall see no man save Jesus only. He to be all our glory in Emmanuel's land. Dear friends, what sweet things are found here in the Gospel of the Psalms, even in the Law, in the Old Testament, throughout the whole Word of God. Oh, may this be your lot. May this be your experience. Oh, may the Lord bless you each with the knowledge of his saving grace, that you can say, as the psalmist says here, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts, knit together through the knowledge of the love of God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and our friend Mr. Hadley again next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 740. Lord, when I hear thy children talk, and I believe 'tis often true, how with delight thy ways they walk, and gladly thy commandments do. In my own breast I look and read accounts so very different there, that had I not thy blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. 740.
O Lord, do bless thine own word of truth amongst us. Take away, Lord, all that has not been of the truth, but bring us each, Lord, into thy tender fear, knowing that without that mercy revealed within our heart, we shall have no hope of eternal life. And help us, Lord, to cleave to that mercy, ever pleading it at the throne of grace. And may we, Lord, be recipients of more tokens of thy heavenly love, of mercy and grace. Lord, teach us and lead us in the ways we shall go, and in those afflictions, those sorrows, those troubles, those difficulties, Lord, are they not in thy hand? Sanctify them to the good of our souls, that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of thy love, and walk in companionship one with another in thy tender fear. So, Lord, be with us. Be with us as we separate. May thy word of truth abide within our hearts, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.